Good morning, church. It's great to be back with you. We're just starting a bit of a tour. We're going to take a little more extended time in the United States this year. I've been here for 3 days in meetings, pre-convention meetings with the regional coordinator role. I need to get to convention early. So we came in last Tuesday. We get to go to the Global Summit this afternoon, which will be a great celebration. If you're not able to make it, it will be online, celebrating 100 years. I've got a little taste of what they're going to be sharing, different stories of the past and the present and what God's doing through the Foursquare family around the world. It's going to be a really exciting evening, and I know that the Holy Spirit's going to do it, and how amazing that it's on Pentecost Sunday. So we'll be here, and then I go to convention this coming week, and then we go up to Chico, then to Santa Cruz, and then I'll be in Oregon for Sunday. So we're going to try to get back here to Hope Chapel on a Sunday, but we'll definitely be around in Huntington Beach later on this summer. But it's great to be here. This is our first stop. We wanted to be at home for our first stop, so we're glad to be with you this morning. This is our home, even though some of you don't know us. We love this place. We just feel a settledness when we come here, and thank you for receiving us, Pastor Paul. I have a message, and I had not thought that this was Memorial Weekend, but it's very fitting. As I was praying beyond just the report, Lord, what would you want me to share? I had, at the beginning of the year, I got away and asked the Lord for some direction and some series, and one of the series that he gave me to teach through, which we spent over a month on, was Libertad en Cristo, freedom in Jesus, freedom in Christ. And I'm going to condense that that month into one message today. But part of the impetus of this is that there is freedom, and often when we think of freedom, we think of no restrictions. That's not what freedom is. Freedom is within restrictions, and we're going to study what the Lord wants us to do, because we are free in Christ when we decide to give up our rights to Him. So let's pray this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word sets us free. Your word brings life, not only to us, but to those that we can share it with. Lord, there's such a clear message this morning that you're calling us to be free, but you're that freedom opens up opportunities so that we can set others free. Lord, I pray that you bless your word this morning, that you establish your word in our hearts. And Lord, whatever obstacles any of us are struggling through or the enemy has put in front of us, whether they're real or imagined, Lord, but they're obstacles, they're limitations. Lord, we in faith, Lord, we remove those. We pray that you would help us to press through. So, Lord, we take a concerted act of our will this morning that we will obey your word. We will follow your word. In Jesus' name, amen. This came to mind as I was getting ready to come here this morning, an old skit by a comedian, Bob Newhart, with his kind of dry humor. And he's a counselor in this setting, and people come in, or someone comes into his office with a problem that's a little odd, a little strange, but seems like something that they're really wrapped up. It's like really complex, and they share it with him, and he says, "Let me know what's going on." And he says, "You know, this will only take 5 minutes, this visit. I'm going to share two words with you." So like, "Oh, should I write these down?" He's like, "If you want, but I'm pretty sure that you'll remember these two words." So he looks at him, he says, "Stop it!" And then they come up with their excuses. "So what are you saying?" He's all, most people have that same response. It's not Yiddish, it's English. "Stop it!" And there's part of it that, not to minimize the bondages, it's many of us have said, "I want to be free." So I understand that it is a complex problem. But what he digs into, what he connects with, is that at some point, to even begin that process, you have to make a concerted will and say, "I choose to change."
Yes, sir.
And then that begins a path. But without that act of the will, you can't even start the process. So there's truth in that, and I think that's why it resonates with us, because we would love to just say, "Stop it." But there is a point where we need to make that decision. And in many ways, I'm going to touch over something that took me a month to teach. There's a lot of different areas here. But my prayer is that there will be one adjustment one thing that is an obstacle or one thing that you need to embrace that the Holy Spirit's going to say, this is for you this morning, and that you'll leave those doors or these doors, whichever doors you leave out of, and you realize, I'm going to make that adjustment. Maybe tomorrow I make another adjustment. Maybe next month I make another one. But I believe that there's something here for every one of us today, and that's how the Lord works in our lives. There's many verses we love about freedom. One of the main passages that always come to mind is in John 8. And Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, those who had believed in him, step one, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We love that verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And we use that and we say, well, just come to Bible study, fill your head with knowledge, and that will set you free. But that's not the whole sentence. It's the OSL, come here, do. If you abide in my word, step one is believe. Step two, abide and do my word. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Then they had their response. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. No, I could quit any time. Not according to this. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son has set you free, you will be free indeed. My point is you can quit, but the point is there that you are decisively under the thing that you submit yourself to. You may think you're free, but you become a slave to it. So you stop that thing, and then you're no longer a slave to it. So this process of becoming set free means you actually lose your freedom. See, freedom for many of us is I can do whatever I want. Nobody can tell me what to do. That's freedom. We're Americans, right? We're celebrating that people have fought for those freedoms. But the freedom was not to do whatever you want. A free society, a completely free society, see, my brother-in-law, Jay Bowen in the back, who's worked for years in Haiti. We were just talking with Pastor Rosie the other day, a man who knows what happens when you give a country complete freedom. There's no laws, no restrictions, and what happens? Complete chaos. That's not real freedom. Freedom is not a lack of restrictions. Freedom is actually within restraints. Where can you be in the most impacting, the most beautiful covenant relationship when you give up your rights, as I did 19 years ago to my wife? Then you become free, right? We make those vows, like I am no longer my own. And there is freedom. But this world that we're living in wants to tell us, don't let anybody tell you what to do. But Jesus is saying, allow me to tell you what to do. Give me the deed to your life and you'll become free. So that's the biblical context of freedom. That's the real truth of freedom. And as we honor those on Memorial Day, they gave up their rights, many of them their lives, for freedom. Freedom comes with a cost. It's no different in the kingdom. We have to count that cost. So what types of freedom? Spiritual freedom, the most important. Emotional freedom. Many people can do whatever they want. They can have a relationship here, relationship there, but they're not free. Financial freedom, that's a huge one, which I'm probably not really the best person to speak on. I don't have all the education and understanding in that, but that is a limitation, especially when we talk about missions work, especially when we talk about international work, doing international projects. It's a major thing that I'm always working through with our even within our region, the global church. How can we fund ministries? How can we move money? How can we do that? There are real things we have to deal with, and there's freedom in that. Governmental freedom, as I mentioned, complete liberty is not freedom. We have a swing in the pendulum. We have had gangs that were controlling El Salvador since the Civil War years. Our government 15 months ago took away constitutional rights to due process, that you can be arrested without cause and detained for 15 days, which turns into 3 months, which turns into 6 months or a year. It's a very difficult thing, but that has actually stopped violence for the first time in 40 years in our country. So what happens? You have complete freedom and then abuses of freedom, and then you lose freedoms. so that you can have security. So there's that balance between the two, between complete lack of security and all freedoms, and you see what I'm saying? So there's always that balance that we're working with. It's the same in the kingdom. What's the biblical context of freedom? Love. I won't read these passages, but they're amazing passages, really interesting to read when you're working in missional environments. And I often tell that we have very religious churches, especially in the rural area. Those that have traveled there, you have to dress a certain way if you're going to minister in these churches. And then I tell them, if you were to go to my home church and you dress this the way, they would look at you like you're funny, like, where's your flip-flops? You could show up as you are here. It's just a different culture. But a lot of times we take those forms and we call those piety or religiosity. And really, sometimes we take things that have brought us freedom in Christ, spiritual disciplines, other things, and then we impose those on others, but they don't bring freedom there. So there's this overarching rule of love that we need. That's the biblical context of love. Whatever the freedoms that I have cannot impose on the freedoms of another. So if you ever have time to read through these passages in Romans 13 and 14, they're amazing passages, especially if you work cross-culturally. But for time, we're going to skip on to the next one, financial freedom. Maybe someone thought, well, I'd love to do missions work. $80, you can, I think, I'll give you $80 if you want to go to Tijuana. Everybody needs to go down there. I'd love to go back to Vista Marina. I say Vista Marina. A lot of times if you want to do long-term things, you're like, I would love to, but I just can't. Or maybe it's not the money, it's just I can't get away from my job. Or I have these responsibilities, and I'm not the one, again, to talk about those. I'm not the most educated. I'm not the most learned person when it comes to financial wisdom and planning and all that. But I do know that those are things that we are constantly running into. How do we deal with that? I'm going to ask the Apostle Paul, Philippians 4. He says, talking to a very poor church who decided to give, he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Now that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And here's the one that you have on your wall, right? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. We don't often read that one in context. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, having suffered need, having gone through challenges, having given up my rights, having lost things. That's the context for this. It's contentment. Yes, contentment. As I mentioned, I was in a drive with Jay on Friday, and he gave Pastor Rosie a call, and he asked something that I was like, that's an odd question, but you could tell it was something they talk about often. Pastor, have you eaten today? Oh, yes. I had fish. A little fish, lots of bones, but I had fish. I thought, wow, that's contentment. And this man, if anyone has a reason to complain, this man has 1,000 times more reasons to complain, and he just doesn't. That impacted me. I'm sharing about it 3 days later. There is something about contentment. And in that, sometimes I would ask you the difference between riches and wealth, because a lot of times we talk about a healthy economy is just that there's goods being exchanged and moved around, and I'm not... Lisha Janes back there is an economist. I'm not. So I'm not going to dive into that, but I'm going to ask you, what are real riches? Well, you know, riches or wealth is something that the family accumulates. In the past, it could have been large properties or lands or something that was passed down for generations. It's not just stuff that you have for it. No, it's wealth. But then we go even beyond that, and I think of Pastor Rosie. That man is wealthy. His retirement plan is incredible. I'm not talking about retirement when he's finished working, because he'll probably never finish working. I'm talking about his eternal retirement is very, very well stocked. Where are we holding our riches? Yes. And the relationships, This is what is often an impediment. And if we could get an eternal perspective, how much that would free us. And I'm speaking to myself. Many times we let our bank account decide if we can do something or not before we ask the Lord if he wants us to. That contentment sets us free. And when the Lord brings blessing, there's peace. It says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Yes. Now, how many of your riches have come with sorrow? That brand new car that ended up having that one problem, that's a sorrow. The Lord's blessings don't bring sorrows with them. He is good. And Ephesians 3:8 says, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, Paul again, taking his true posture, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Those are the true riches we have. What's another obstacle that we need to be freed from? Freedom from sin. This trap of sin, and again, for time, I won't get into those passages, but please, in your I don't know if you call them mini churches, small groups these days, but please get into those verses. They're really, really amazing. The grace to resist, that second one in James 4, it says that God gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What's that mean in the context of getting set free? It means that I have to confess my weaknesses. I don't have to put that, you know, that Southern California, everything's great, man. I don't have to put that face on all the time. I'm not saying I leave my dirty laundry out for everybody to see, but I'm saying that I have to open up and say, I am struggling with this. If we confess our sins to the Lord, we're forgiven. We know that. But if we confess our sins to our brother, we're healed. We're set free. I need to be in community like Surfing the Nations. This is why these young people grow, because they live together and they realize, I tried to do this on my own, but I couldn't. The Lord wants to set us free from those things. But we have to be humble enough to say, I need help. Lord, I need you, but I need someone to help me. And just say it and just get it and stick with it. Even if it's the guy that said, stop it, and do it. And then come back next week when we fell again, and he says, stop it again. Continue to move forward. And freedom from fear. Freedom from fear. 2 Timothy 1:6-7. I like to read the context because it has to do with doing, with obeying. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. God has anointed us. God has given us a call. We need to fulfill that. And then you'll have this encounter with fear. But I know God's called me, but you hit that wall. And he says, for God has not given us a spirit, not to fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. We will persevere and we'll press through. I want to read this. There's two psalms that would really be worthwhile meditating on. You've heard them before. I'm just going to read one of them. But just as a practice to allow the Lord to begin to break off those shackles, if you could just close your eyes, I want to read this psalm over you. If anyone's struggling with fear, David wrote, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd. I will not lack. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He is leading me by peaceful and still waters. He is the one who restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, free from sin, free from those obstacles, free from those chains, for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil. You, Lord, you are with me. Your rod will prod me on. Your staff that corrects me, they comfort me. And you will prepare a table before me. Not free from my enemies, but in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. I am anointed to serve you. I am anointed to follow you. My cup is not half full. My cup is overflowing. Surely, definitely, without a doubt, goodness and mercy will follow me every single day that I have on this planet Earth. and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And point five, freedom from the past. Lord, frees us up so that we can serve him. And many of us have a past. Pastor Paul said this morning, I know many of you and you shouldn't be here. I said, I'm one of those. I should not be preaching. But the Lord freed me from my past. Not just my past. He freed me from the past of my grandparents, my parents. God bless them, but they had things that should disqualify me from being here. God set me free from that. God has set them free from that. And I can serve him and I can follow him. And as Paul said, and with this verse I want to close, Philippians 3:7-8, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. I'm not saying throw it all away, no. But I'm saying if you've lost anything for the sake of Christ. Some of us lose things. It's not for the sake of Christ, it's for our own tontería, we would say, our own foolishness. But we've lost them for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Not just my Savior, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. So I don't know which one of these applied to you this morning, but meditate on those in your mini churches this week. Study those verses, but I just want to charge you. I know that oftentimes missionaries come and we give reports and people think, wow, they're out there doing amazing things. I'd love to do that. But it's the same. We're all in the same boat. We're all just trying to serve the Lord. We're all just trying to say yes every day. Sometimes it's that stop it, that there is something that I know I need to let go, and today I'm just going to let it go. But there may be something that I need to take up. Maybe I need to go see Sean after the service and sign up to go to Tijuana. But whatever it is, you need to take that up. And I asked David to put this formula up that our pastor or our missions director shared this with us. And as I leave you, I just want to leave this thought with you. We talk about impact, and you've got short-term teams, and they're always looking at impact, and that's great. But he said, I want you guys to kind of think differently about how the work we do. And I know you're all missionaries, and we'll be out reporting to churches, and we want to share what's going on, and I'm going to continue to do that. Those are great things. But impact, he said, it can be seen in this formula. Impact, or I equals F over T. Impact equals force over time. So you can have a lot of force, but not great impact. But if you limit the time, then you've got an impact, right? So less time, more force, more going on. What's the biggest bang for your buck? How can I get the fastest return on my investment? And those are good things to look at. But he said, we need to have a different mentality as well. That's okay, but I want you to look at this other formula where it's I equals F to the power of T, or F times T, which means influence, talking long-term, influence equals friendship to the power of time, or friendship multiplied times time. So the impact, and I feel in many ways, we've been in El Salvador 9 years, and I feel like we've gone through so much and so much has happened, and we have had great moments of impact, but I do feel like it's just starting. Like the real influence is just starting. So I want to encourage you. Yes, make that decision today. Make that shift. Make that call. Go. But also realize this is a long journey. And it comes through relationship. And it comes through being consistent. And it comes through time spent together. So wherever you're at this morning, whether it's saying no to something, no to a fear, no to your past, no to your old habits, or it's yes to something new. Let's do that. Can I pray for you this morning? Lord, thank you that you counted the cost. You have not called us to do something that you're unwilling to do. You gave us the example of what it means to serve and sacrifice and give. So, Lord, I pray that this church, Lord, that so radically impacted my family's life, Lord, that helped us to say yes and has continued, Lord, through these past 9 years, to continue to prop us up and keep us there and give us everything that we need in prayer and support and encouragement and teams, Lord. You have used this church so that we were able to say, yes, I pray in the name of Jesus that this church would continue to do that. Thank you that their influence is expanding. Yes, they have impact, but they have long-term influence. Thank you, Jesus, for this church. And Lord, I pray for any individuals this morning that are struggling with saying no, that are struggling with that fear. You are their shepherd. You will not leave them or forsake them. But as Jesus said, if my words abide in you and you obey them, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It will set you free to serve me. It will set you free to honor me. It will set you free to no longer live in fear. It will set you free to no longer live in bondage. It will set you free to say yes to the call that I have placed over your life. Thank you, Jesus. And help us to say yes to whatever that is you're calling us to do. And that tomorrow we wake up and we say yes again. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for the great honor and privilege it is to serve you. Amen.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.